Is this thing on? Is it on? Because it is the news, but it's according to me. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday morning, June 23rd, 7:36 a.m. I'm a little late this morning to work. The show was planning to be at 7:30, but for the first show ever that's gone well, the first real episode that's live. I guess we had an episode the other day that was more or less a little bit of a test to see if I could push all the buttons the right way. It's more of a test for me than anybody else, I guess. So we're live this morning. Live. It's a live show, and I'm going to talk about stuff. Live. And anybody that's out there, if you want to, you know, type a message. Hey, how you doing there? I see there's people. There's actually people joining the show right now. That's kind of exciting. So this morning, the most important thing that you want to know, and I know that everybody tunes in for this every morning, especially now for the live shows, that 7:30 a.m. live show thing. They all want to know what's in my cup. That's the only thing they really care about. So this morning, it's one of those hot chocolate mornings. I have hot chocolate. It's just Swiss Miss, you know, the powdered stuff. A little bit of Cinnabon creamer in there. That's always nice. That's good stuff. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. Now you can relax. Now that you know that, you can settle down, settle back, relax, and listen to the rest of my story. Because this morning I have a lot to talk about. I haven't really talked about, there wasn't a show over the weekend, and we didn't have one on Monday because of my traveling episode that I told you all about yesterday. However, last night we also didn't have a show because I was busy. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we just couldn't do it. But I didn't even record one yesterday. I'm having some issues with a computer at my main office. This is my home studio. But my main studio, where I do most of my work, I have a fairly new computer. Bought it brand new. It's an Apple, of course, brought it's an Apple product. And how do I describe this? I was upgrading the thing to Big Sur. Well, there's a glitch with Big Sur. For those of you who don't know about this, this is important. This is important information. This is a public announcement for those of you who don't know. If you're upgrading to Big Sur, there's a little glitch. It will tell you, especially if you're close to having your hard drive full, it will let you know that you don't have enough space to complete the upgrade. However, there's one little glitch in that thing. If you have like 14.7 or so, there's a little range in there where if you have a certain amount of gig space available, it will not give you the warning, but you will not have enough space. And it gets trapped because it downloads all this stuff and it tries to upgrade. And then it says, unable to complete this thing. And then when you go back to try to reinstall it, it's already installed a bunch of files on your computer. And now it comes up with the warning because you only have like 2 gigs left. And there's not enough storage to install Big Sur. So you're stuck and you can't get the computer to open, not even in safe mode. So make sure that you use Time Machine before you do this thing, first of all. The biggest thing is make sure you've got about 50 gigabytes of storage in there, at least. Some people recommend 75. I would say at least 50. It's going to require at least, it's like 35.7 or something like that, 34.2 or whatever it's going to take. Make sure you got plenty. I would make sure you got enough for like 2 downloads because you just never know. So now I've got to take another computer and hook it up to that computer, put that computer in some other kind of mode where I can read it like a hard drive, take a bunch of stuff off of there, off those files. It's either that, There's one other method. Oh, there's a couple other methods, but there's one other, the bottom line nuclear option is to just reformat the whole thing. Erase everything on the computer and reload the whole thing. And I'm pretty sure, I've got most of my files backed up, but I'm pretty sure there's stuff on there from clients that I probably need to, probably should have. I'm taking lots of sips of hot chocolate to calm my nerves about this whole prod thing. At the same time this is all happening, my laptop, my MacBook Pro, pulled it out the other day when I was on a trip, opened it up, ding, little apple comes up, little thing goes across, and all of a sudden it goes black. Keys are lit, you know, they're all lit up. Screen's black. Can't get it to do anything. Started up in safe mode, everything's fine. Of course, this is before I did the other iMac, and I said, well, I'll just upgrade the operating system. Maybe that'll fix any kind of glitches I got. I don't want to do that anyway, so I wanted to get the other Big Sur as well. So I downloaded that. Well, then, of course, that took a while, and it had some problems, and I couldn't tell what it was doing half the time. And, of course, it has to shut off and turn back on again a few times during that process, and, of course, it won't turn on because it turns on. It's doing stuff, but it won't do anything because it's got this weird black screen thing going on. So I finally got that accomplished. I actually got the new operating system in there, but it's not working. It still doing the same thing. And I've tried all the the button resets and all that stuff, and the PR RAM reset thing, safe mode, RAM, system, SMPTC, all that crap. Tried all that. And, Still doing its weird thing. So sometimes the Apple icon will light up, and the screen will be more of a grayish color, like it's got a backlit thing and going on. And then other times it just doesn't light up at all. And so I think what I need to do with that thing is throw it on the ground and run over it with a truck. I think that will fix it, finally. But I think if I do anything with that one, it's going to be probably going to take the back of it off because it probably got jarred. That's the one I travel with. And they claim that what people don't know is there's two graphics cards in a MacBook Pro, or at least this in that vintage. It's like a 2015. It's an old one. I don't buy new stuff anymore. The one I bought a new, I just buy the old stuff, make sure it works. It's cheap. It's less than half the price. And if I have a problem, I'll throw it away. Spend over $2,000 on a computer. Yeah. So now I've got the same setup at home. I've got an older one here at home that's an iMac. Yeah, it works fine. Everything works fine on this one. And it's even got more storage and all kinds. I've got at the office, the one that's brand new, is a solid state. I have to say goodbye. I have to say goodbye to somebody who actually goes to work, because somebody's got to work around here. So that's done. That's accomplished. Check that off my list. So what was I talking about? Oh, yes, the computer thing. So we have this one here at the house, and it's older, but it's got the old hard drives and stuff on it. It's still got an i7 in it. It's got all the processing speed I need. But it's not, it doesn't have, you can't upgrade some things. It's not, and it does have all the old, it has different buttons on the, plugins on the back and stuff. It's got different stuff. You got to get different adapters. The old style adapters, older. They're older, not the oldest ones, but anyway, so I've got to find a way to get my laptop, open it in safe mode, use that one to get the other one working. And then I hopefully can get the laptop to, I think I got to take the back off of it and actually look at the connection for the screen, because I think that's where most people have the problem. And what happens is the one video driver or graphics driver will work to come up with the Apple part. It uses this one part of the graphics driver. Now you can actually switch it over to use the other graphics driver somehow, apparently. And it's like a temporary fix to use the computer in a normal mode. So I got to figure that out. So I'm becoming an expert in computer technology by default because I'm too cheap to take it to Apple Service Center and pay them $1 million to fix my $900 computer that's worth $200. But it's worth nothing if I can't fix it. So you got that going for me. Now back to the political news. Let's talk about that a little bit. I've got a couple things going on. One is, the biggest news story of the day, really, is that we're live. The news, according to me, has gone live. And I'm going to share this in real time. I'm going to share this on Facebook. It's just the news, according to me. I think it might be TNA to me. I'm not sure if we'll look at it here. Let's go to Facebook. I'm going to share the link on Facebook, and we'll see if we get another 20,000 people here and listening to the program. Probably not, because I don't think there's 20,000 subscribers. But we have. It's taking its time, but it's working. We'll get back to that. So a couple things in the news that have really, one of the things that I was thinking about the other day, we're talking infrastructure right now, I guess. And it's a big deal. Here's what aggravates me about this. And I was going to look some information up, and I didn't, of course, because I'm lazy and I don't get paid for this. So I did. I just wanted to know, you know, when was the last time that we actually had an infrastructure bill? Because, you know, when you look at this, to listen to these guys in Washington and all their political theater, you would think that there has never been an infrastructure bill. There's no budget to fix bridges and roads and bridges, roads and bridges, which are infrastructure. Of course, everything's infrastructure now, according to the Democrats. We are live. I'm going to type this into the, put that little link right there, and we're going to go, we're just going to post that. There you go. It's on Facebook now. The news according to me. So if you want to find our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/thenewsaccordingtome. And you'll find it there. That's where we are. I just put the thing in the, there you go. Now there's going to be a million people probably show up here in just a minute. So welcome to all of you who've entered the room and are enjoying the content this morning. We're going to talk about this infrastructure bill, and here's what aggravates me. And as I'm talking, I'm going to go ahead and look up, see if I can find out. Where's my duck, duck, go? Duck, duck, go. There you are, duck, duck, go. So we're gonna go, go, little duck. Uh-oh, my cat is down here now. He likes to crawl around on my sound booth. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. You can hear him in the background there, I'm sure. See, Last infrastructure bill passed in the U.S. Let's go there. Let's just go to that and see when it was. I bet you it was about 4 years ago. Because if you listen to them and kind of you get this impression that all of our roads and bridges are collapsing and they haven't done anything to them for 4 years or for 8 years or 10 years. You know, since time began, we've never had, you know, we don't need to spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure. The last time there was a bill, here it is. This is it. This might be it right here. The 5-year infrastructure bill is the longest reauthorization of federal transportation programs. This is where it gets interesting. Last time one was passed, it was $305 billion, apparently. Now, I'm going to look at this other thing. It's like a historical. It has all the infrastructure bills that have been passed. And now my internet is slowed down because I'm streaming so much content here. That's why it's slowed down. Now, if anybody is texting in the room there, just in case you are sending any messages, I'm not on that page right now. So you're not gonna see me. So I might pull this off. I'm gonna put this on a different page. Let's do that. Go over here. There we go. Now, if you post something, I can see it because I got it on my other screen. Okay, let's. Here's a historical look at infrastructure bills. Federal in 2017. Here we go. 2017, as recent as 2017. Federal government had $98.4 billion bill for infrastructure. The state and local governments. Now, see, this is where they get you on this stuff. This is how the federal government does this stuff. State and local governments have their own budget for roads and bridges, infrastructure stuff, buildings. State buildings, county buildings, whatever they are. This is the dirty little secret that the federal won't tell you about. Now, once in a while, they'll mention a little bit of it about it, but they'll cloak it in this little, almost passing by statement that they won't even really get into the details of this. But this is how this works. The federal government comes up with an infrastructure bill, and now I have no problem with infrastructure. As long as it's done responsibly, and if it's actually infrastructure, you know, promoting certain social causes is not infrastructure. When was the last time you signed on to a federal Wi-Fi service? They're talking about we need to build, you know, Wi-Fi infrastructure. Who does that? Where's that money going? Because I don't have, I can't sign up for my local federal or state Wi-Fi service. Maybe some of you have that. Maybe some cities provide you with Wi-Fi. I don't know. I have to pay money for that, and it comes through a service provider, an ISP. And I don't know how in the world, they bring that up all the time. Oh, I need to make sure internet service is provided for everybody. So you're funding, who are you funding? Where's that money going? Are you giving grants to these big tech companies? So they can censor us more? We can get your fingers into it more? Because you're in bed with these big tech companies? That's what's going on. I guarantee you. So, the federal government will spend $98.4 billion. And what that does, now I was on a board one time. It wasn't a city council board, but it was like a subcommittee thing. I wasn't actually even on the board. I just participated in watching the board a lot because I was directly involved in a business that was on the property that this board was responsible for. So I constantly went to the meetings just because I wanted to see what they were doing. And it was even politically theory. These guys would go to dinner before the meeting. They would all go to dinner, to lunch or whatever. They would discuss how they were going to talk about things. This is where the real meeting happened. Then they would go to the meeting at the government facility where the press was allowed to be. And they would, you could almost tell they had rehearsed this stuff. You're going to say this and I'm going to say that. I'm going to make this, that's a part of it. This is how we're going to present this. It was almost comical sometimes when there was, it wasn't always that way, but it was when there was a tricky situation, when there was a tough issue, all of a sudden they had all the answers all laid out for you, all said in a word-crafted way. I picked up on it pretty quickly. So then, what happens in this meeting? What I discovered was, they wanted to do some improvements. Well, they were going to put the improvements off for several years because the funding wasn't there. They didn't have it in the budget. They had an account that money was going into as part of the budget to build up a fund to pay for an expansion. or in a, it was a remodeling and expansion of this one part of the facility. So the federal government comes along and basically says, we have X amount of millions of dollars available to you. If you come up with the rest of the money to pay for it, if you don't use it, you have to pass it by and never use it again. And you never know when that opportunity is going to come around again. In other words, we're going to give you some incentive to spend your money now by paying for part of it. But if you don't do it now, we're taking the money away. Well, that's a fine how do you do. This does several things, and it's a political move. You have to realize what this actually does. And their discussion of it was interesting because they didn't really understand what was going on. I think even in their own midst. I just spilled a little bit of hot chocolate on my desk here. Just a drop. Oh, maybe there's two drops there. I'll let the cat look that up later. Sure, that won't be harmful to him at all. No, I don't do that. Probably also, I wouldn't give the cat, you know, this stuff. It's probably harmful to them. But it's fine for me. So we have, this is the way they play these games. And so they kind of almost strong-arm people, you know, other local government organizations into spending money that they really don't have sometimes. They really hadn't planned on. You know, they had a 20-year plan or they had a 10-year plan to, you know, and the community agreed upon that in their budget. And all of a sudden the federal government comes along and says, well, we're going to give you this amount of money to do something now. Well, that now you're fixing something that maybe that doesn't even need to be money to be fixed. This is, you know, the contractor comes in and says, this is going to last you for 15 years or whatever. So they have a 10-year plan to make sure that they can, you know, stave off any issues so that they're prepared if they're responsible government individuals. If they're not, they're just going to spend all the money they get on something else. Louisiana. If you remember New Orleans, all kinds of federal aid had been pumped into that place to fix the pumps and the infrastructure there. Money wasn't spent on that. When the storm came to New Orleans, this was back in, I don't know, this several storms ago, major storm hit New Orleans. It sat there in the Gulf and just built up and built up and built up and then just slammed into New Orleans. It was all the flooding and all the stuff that happened there at the stadium, all that stuff that was going on, and all the lies and stuff that was all about, I think that was all about Bush. And that stuff all happened, and then come to find out, the little dirty secret behind the scenes that the media then didn't even want to cover, it basically didn't cover, was that the funds that had been given by the federal government to fix everything that had to go this, oh, the pumps have been overwhelmed. Pumps have been overwhelmed and the city is flooding. No, the pumps were not even working. They weren't overwhelmed. The pumping stations, there were two pumping stations that were completely broken. They were broken before the storm. They never got them working. Didn't have the funding. It was an incredible, it was like they didn't even bother trying because it was, there were parts needed. There were all kinds of things needed that weren't there. And we're not talking about something you can go down to Walmart, buy it. Let's just go buy a bilge pump down there. We'll just get that thing there and let's put that on there. No, these are kind of one-off items, basically. These are extremely large pumps. Very few manufacturers, very few options. And they we're talking, you know, massive amounts of water. Because New Orleans would be underwater. It's a swamp, basically. They pump the water out. That's what they have to bury their people above the ground there. They put them in little sarcophagi. So This is the way they do this stuff, and they get this federal funding coming in. So now we're talking trillions of dollars in this quote infrastructure bill. Now, the Republicans love this. This is why the Republicans like to be on the losing end of everything. At least the establishment Republicans do, because they don't want to lead. They want to stand behind and we'll just kind of dig our feet in here a little bit. We're going to try to drag. You know, we don't have really any power, but we're going to try to slow them down a little bit. But thank goodness we're spending all this money. See, we just don't want it to go over $1 trillion. They're trying to keep it under $1 trillion. $1 trillion. We've already passed like $6 trillion already in 5 months. And I guarantee you that they are trying. What they're doing here is intentionally driving our economy into the dirt. They want to break the dollar. They have to devalue the dollar to the point. So they've got an agenda. I mean, you talk about the minimum wage and all that stuff, the national minimum wage, and they're going to have a national voting right thing. Schumer's actually picking this up. They're going to try to get this thing going. This national centralization, really. It's a centralization of the voter law, which infringes on states' rights. Because our centralized government, those that are in the temple of democracy on the Hill, who think that they are the democracy, Nancy Pelosi thinks an attack on her is an attack on the democracy. No, the democracy is the people. And I guarantee you, if the million people who were there, or whatever the news media wants to say, 700,000, 500,000, 200,000 people that were there at the Capitol, they want to make it sound like it was just barely anybody there. Okay, let's just say it was 200,000 people. If those 200,000 people were all insurrectionists and wanted to do away with the people in Congress, that building would not be standing. And guess what? The country would still be standing. We wouldn't be in mayhem. This happened right after 9/11 as well. The attack, the day the attack happened, that they're equating January 6th to 9/11 when 3,000 people died. Well, because they weren't attacked. The Pentagon was attacked. That evening, they stood on the Capitol grounds, on the Capitol steps, and they sang something, I don't know, God Bless America, whatever they sang. We needed to let the people know that their government is intact. We are the government, folks. They seem to forget that. And this is where they become so self-aggrandized, self-seeking, everything, but everything there is about the self except for self-aware. That's the only thing that they are not. You have people like Nancy Fancy Pants Pelosi, who seem to think that she is so important. And I'm telling you, she is a ruthless person. Her claws go deep into the skin of the people around her. What you don't understand, what most people don't realize, is that when somebody gets to be Speaker of the House or whatever it is in leadership, majority leader in the Senate or whatever it's going to be, they are in control of a huge amount of campaign financing. And if you don't vote for them to be the speaker the next time, you may not have, you're taking a chance. Because if they win and you didn't vote for them, They're going to look at who voted for them and how much money you're going to get from their PAC. This happens all the time. This is the influence that they have. This is why you don't dare go against them unless you know you can get a majority to go against you. Unless you've got some kind of guts. And you don't care about campaign financing because you're, you know, you have some integrity. So this is what's going on with the infrastructure bill, and that's my opinion of it. So I will digress from that. This is not infrastructure, folks. And there's a budget. There's an annual budget for most of the spending that they do in roads and bridges. How do you think, you know, every spring you see construction start popping up everywhere on all the roads and bridges. Who's funding that? Is that from the last funding bill? There's already a budget in place. Where do you think the taxes go from your gas pumps? When you buy a gallon of gas, there are state, local, and federal taxes probably already built into that. They even took the sales tax. It used to be when you went to the pump, in most states, when you went to the pump to buy gas, you still had to pay the sales tax on top of that. Well, then they just included it in the price. Then they put in a wheel tax, and they put in this. All these taxes that you pay. And then when you go to buy your license plate, that's a tax, folks. A license plate is a tax. And there are taxes within it. There are even things itemized on there that say it's a tax. Excise tax, whatever it is. It used to be you could take those things off your income, and now you can't. It's in most places, most states. So this is the kind of stuff that people, you know, they hide that stuff from you. The other thing that you don't know that you're paying, because they make your employer pay it and it doesn't even show up on your check, is the other half of your Social Security. You only pay for, it's 15%. You only pay 7.5% of it. The employer pays the other 7.5%. They hide that in there. And they like to take it out of your check before you see it. That way you don't feel like they're taking it from you so much. That's why they like federal withholdings. You can go to your employer and say, I don't want any taxes taken out of my check. And they're obligated by law not to take any taxes out of your check. And you have to pay it at the end of the year. And I think they still have to take social. There's some things they still have to take out because they're required by law to take out. But your withholdings, your normal income withholding tax, you can tell them not to take that out. That's why they give you the one exemption or two. Because they have a formula to figure out how much you want taken out. You can say, I want $20 a week taken out of my check. And that's what they'll take out. Or I want 5% taken out, or whatever you want. That's what they'll take out to withhold. This money goes into a fund, a holding fund, so to speak. And your employer pays that into this fund. And if they don't, they get fined incredibly. It's ridiculous. So, and the reason is because, you know, they know that you can't be disciplined and you can't be responsible enough to save up your money, but for the end of the year and pay your taxes. Because people aren't responsible enough and disciplined enough to do that. Now, I'm in a position where I can. It came about by being self-employed and realizing that for every dollar that comes in, I need to set aside. I just started dividing things up in percentages. For every dollar that comes in, I had several different accounts, and funds have to go into certain different accounts. I had to learn this the hard way. That way you don't live, you know, outside of your means. And this is what's happening with the federal government right now. And I can't figure out. The only plan I can see that they have is that they need to spend money rapidly and quickly in order to destroy the value of the dollar, destroy the economy, to bring everybody down to the point where it's going to, so that a hamburger is, you know, $20. And that the reason they need to do that is because that makes it look like they're giving everybody a raise. When in fact, they're just devaluing your hour's worth of work. You still have to work an hour to buy a cheeseburger. And this is where they really, but guess what? They don't care. Because they get, you know, the money that they get is over the top anyway. So they don't care. It's craziness, folks. It is absolute craziness. And I truly believe they're trying to devalue and crash the dollar. And they have all these crazy reasons for it. I digress. I said I was going to digress earlier, and I didn't. I lied. I kept going. So what we're doing now is what was I looking at here? Oh, that was that infrastructure thing. Yeah, the historical look at the infrastructure thing. And yeah, well, I'm done. I'm beating a dead horse on that one. We'll talk about that again later, I'm sure. Let's talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci. I guess now he's changing his tune once again. And, you know, he came out and said, well, if you attack me, you're attacking science. Because I am science. Incarnate science. When have you ever, I bring this up occasionally because I like to, you know, delve a little bit behind what motivates people sometimes and what they, you know, what they're really about. How many times have you heard Dr. Fauci admit that he was wrong or apologize for anything? Now, there's some other personalities we could talk about as well who have not done that either, but we're talking about Fauci right now. How many of you have heard Fauci say that he was wrong? He actually did kind of admit to a lie, but he lied because he's a hero. Because he made it out to be he's a hero for the first responders, because you know they needed the PPE. We had to lie, you know, had to tell people that we didn't have to wear a mask initially because the PPE, you know, we needed to keep that for the first responders. Why didn't you come out? This is the way you raise your children. Why didn't you come out and say, okay, folks, you need to be responsible now. We need to not purchase masks, buy up all the masks, because we need to save them for the first responders, for the people in medicine, people who are dealing with the you know, face-to-face COVID cases. And then, you know, make your own masks or do whatever you want to do. But if you want to wear a mask, you can. And because we went from, oh, you don't really have to wear a mask. You might save a droplet, you know, whatever, to wearing two masks. Well, another layer, you know, it's another layer. What, you know, it just makes common sense. No, it actually makes no sense. Now, you know what they're finding out now? The children, they're requiring to wear masks in school. And I think it's plain child abuse. I see kids behind plastic shields on their desk with masks on. This is something they will never forget growing up. This will have an impact on them for the rest of their lives. And it has absolutely nothing to do with keeping them healthy. I guarantee you, first of all, if they get COVID, they are the lowest risk of anyone. And there are other issues. Now there's kids coming up with respiratory issues that we can't explain. Yeah, guess what? A new study has just found out. They tested three different kinds of masks. The kids were wearing all day. These kids would wear these masks all day, and then they turned them in at the end of the day, and they had research done on what was living in the mask. They found all kinds of pathogens. It's a breeding ground for all kinds of things. Now, there's one particular job I do that I'm required to wear a mask a lot of the time of the day, during the day, for hours. sometimes. I know that when I get done with that 2 or 3 days of doing that job, my throat and my lungs feel terrible. And it's one of those, it's one of those things where I know I'm going to be coughing for a day after, you know, after having to wear that stupid mask. And it's a lot of the places I go now, that some of the states I'm in occasionally, they have no restrictions anymore, including my home state. My home state, there's basically no restrictions. I take my mask with me just in case, but I most places I go into, you don't have to wear a mask anymore, including restaurants, even sitting down in a restaurant. But there are still some states that don't have sit-down restaurants yet. Dining inside is not allowed. And if it is, it's limited capacity. And even some fast food places don't have indoor dining yet. And I'm speaking mostly of Michigan. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with all the, you know, the information that's coming out. Now, of course, the big thing in the news right now is that, you know, China is under the gun right now because all of a sudden, oh, it could have come from the Wuhan lab. And all of a sudden, that's a popular thing to say. If you'd have said it a year ago, you'd have been a xenophobe. You're a wacky conspiracy theorist and a Trump supporter. And all of a sudden, now it's mainstream. Because people, you know, their memories are great, but they only last 2 days. So this is what's happening now, is we've got these craziness, this craziness, and it's over-the-top hysteria. And when you saw people walking into a store without a mask on, I guarantee you if that person was keeping their mouth closed and they weren't talking, they weren't spreading anything more than the person next to them who was talking all the time and wearing a mask, especially the person yelling at them for not wearing a mask. Now you're engaged in a conversation, making them talk and spit out of their mouth as well. So, all this to say, Fauci is a criminal, in my opinion. This guy is a pathological liar. He is a self-absorbed, has a messiah complex, loves himself to no end. And the media fawns over him and basically treats him as if he is infallible. And it's, in my opinion, it's extremely dangerous when we give somebody that much power who hasn't been elected to an office, who's been in, you know, in politics as long as he has had his toes dipping in the flow of, you know, millions and billions of dollars. And behind the scenes now has all this other stuff going on. He is not a friend of this country. He's certainly, of course, this book deal he signed now is pretty much on the rocks. But the whole book deal thing is, that's, when people do the book deal thing, like Cuomo, that was political payoff. There was never any intent to sell the books anyway. We're paying off Cuomo. That's a way. Books, book deals, artwork, that kind of thing. There's all kinds of ways that they pass money around. That's basically laundered. Never touches the person. But that's why these people are millionaires. And they're making $120,000 a year, whatever they make. And they're millionaires. So it's all the corruption and things that go on behind the scenes that we don't, media never goes into. And if they do, oh, you're just a conspiracy theory guy. Okay. No, it does not happen. No. Close your eyes. Keep on, you know, just doing your thing. So then we've got one other issue, and that is the whole election thing. Now, Arizona has finished up its or is finishing up its audit process. Ballots have been counted. Now they're going back. They were going back through and validating some of the audits or some of the ballots because there were mail-in ballots that had not been folded. Now, I've talked about this before. There's a thing called adjudication. And if a mail-in ballot comes in and they don't, they want to adjudicate it, it goes to the adjudicator, who is not observed, by the way, in most states. They don't have an observer watching the adjudicator. It goes into a different room. They send these things into a room where it comes up on a computer. The scanner basically scanned it in. The adjudicator looks at it, and they can do whatever they want to with that ballot. They can change the vote. They can click on whatever they want. They can unclick this, click that. They can change, because now it's been digitized. Then they print out a new one. Well, that's not been folded. That's an adjudicated ballot. In most states, that's the way it works with this whole system, this this Dominion systemic, whatever it's called, Smartmatic, whatever. that's the system. That's how it works. So if you have several adjudicators going at it, and I don't think there was any like one big smoking gun in this whole thing. There was just a lot of little smoking pistols. A lot of different ways that they did all this stuff. Now, supposedly, Mike Lindell has come up with all kinds of evidence again. He's constantly digging up more evidence, and he's constantly coming out with more and more stuff about how these machines were manipulated by China, a couple other countries, I guess. I'll stick to this. China is on the road to world dominance. Huh, China's gonna eat our lunch? Come on, man. Yeah. Talking about 1 billion people here. I think the population of China is over a billion now. It's like four times our population. And their industrial revolution that's coming about right now, the way they're growing, is exponential. And we're basically in it's almost like a cold war right now with China, and nobody's admitting it. So it's one of those things where we need to realize what they're capable of, that if they did unleash this thing on purpose, even if it was by accident, they're still culpable. This thing came out of the lab. It was an engineered gain-of-function virus. And so if they're doing this, it's going to cause a trigger, in my opinion. Now, they're already talking. Australia is like, their nerves are rattled down there because they realize they're kind of sitting ducks. And they've not been building up their military in a way that they can mobilize things to make be at war with anybody. I'm talking about a country with about 20 million people. 25 million people. A tenth of what we have here. And almost everything that they, all their inhabited areas are around the coastal areas. The central area, the outback of Australia, is pretty much kind of desert land, a lot of it. It's very barren. And so you're talking about a small population with a country the size, basically, of the contiguous United States. It's a lot of land to defend. Now, there are people in this country that say, oh, I would go to war to defend Australia. You know, U.S. will stand up and step in and help defend Australia. I don't know about this administration, first of all. Secondly, I'm wondering why. Why would we at this point? At the direction Australia is, what are we saving? there seems to be a minority of people there who really understand. You know, I mean, they're going off the cliff there too, in my opinion, faster, at a faster rate. They've already lost their guns there. They disarmed the population. And they're going down this whole wokeism thing, you know, as fast as Canada is. And it's just this new faux righteousness, this phony standard of what is right and what is good and moral is totally mixed up, confused, and based on nothing absolute. We're heading for some really tough times, in my opinion. As a society, morally, ethically, financially, economically, if we continue down this, we're not even 6 months into this administration, folks. And it is getting, you know, what are we going to do in the next, I mean, everybody says, well, the Republicans are going to win back the House in 22. Okay. And then they're going to be, then we're going to have what? A little bit less or a little slower of this direction that we're headed? Because you see, the Republicans don't like to be in power. The establishment Republicans like to be the party of, oh, well, we're only, you know, one half of one third of one, you know, tenth of the government. We don't have any, you know. Unfortunately, that's the way the vote went last time. They're all a bunch of big government individuals. They're conservatives in name only. There are a lot of them, like Lindsey Graham. Those people, they call themselves conservatives. They're just kind of blowing in the wind as well. You know, they're all, every one of them is a good excuse for term limits. But yeah. So, first of all, let me get back to the show here and talk about this a little bit more. The plan is that every day at 7:30, I plan on having now this is commercial free, folks. It's commercial free, sponsor free, and pretty much information free. We're going to be doing the show. My plan is every day at 7:30, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 7:30 live show. Occasionally, there will be some other live shows on Monday and Tuesday. However, most of those will be recorded if they happen at all, because a lot of times I travel on those days. Now, as we enter July, my schedule changes quite a bit. And it will be interesting to see how that all pans out. I'm going to try to continue to go with the live shows as much as possible, but I can't guarantee anything. So stay tuned, and I will try to keep the, the announcement's coming out there. If you're not a member, if you're not following us if you're not following me on Facebook, it's just Facebook/TheNewsAccordingToMe. You find my page there, and I'll try to put up announcements and links to the show when it's going to be live. As we enter the rest of the day here, this afternoon show is probably going to be recorded. I'll be posting it later, and then in the meantime, we can. I appreciate it. I can tell, you know, there's a lot of people that have entered the room who have actually been in the room here. I appreciate some of your responses and some of your encouragement here this morning, as well as some of the other avenues. Now, if you want to call into the show or text into the show, you can do that as well. It's 574-742-6748, 574-742-6748. You can do that. In the meantime, we are going to, this afternoon, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the other events that are going on, what's happening with the GOP, the look ahead to 2022, and maybe even talk a little bit about a little more spiritual stuff, you know, the state of the church, the country, where we are as a nation. And the divide that seems to be happening racially. I'll talk a little bit more about critical race theory this afternoon and some of the issues involved in that. I'll dive right into that because I don't know any better. Let's jump off the cliff and go there. So my hot chocolate is almost gone. Most of it spilled, but there's still a little bit in my cup here. I'm going to finish that off. I'm going to call this a show because it is. It's a show. That's what it is. And thank you for everyone who have listened this morning, joined us, and chimed in. Really appreciate your time. Once again, God bless, folks. Have a great evening. Have a great day. See you back here this afternoon, hopefully. See ya.